We're talking today with Randy Block from the Cattle Facts Organization. Randy, your organization, as you have for a bunch of years now, offering outlook here at this cattle industry convention. This year you had to kind of work with 2015 and peering into 2016, about as unusual as I can remember in the cattle business as far as the volatility. And you alluded to that very, very quickly, you and your team, about how things were so unstable.
Oh, it's really been a, I think as one of our analysts said yesterday, a tale of two halves. You have a market that averaged 160 in the first half of 2015 and averaged 135 in the second half of 15. So you think about all the things that can happen that would drive nearly a $25 hundred move in average prices from the first half to second half. There's a lot going on. And obviously, for producers, we were on the wrong end of that stick, weren't we, with the relative to the global slowdown in global demand, the strength in the dollar. Bottom line is we ended up with 4.5 billion more pounds of protein to absorb in the U.S. marketplace than we had 1 year ago. The single largest one-year change in the history of our business.
You alluded to the fact that as you talked to folks a year ago, 2015, that you were talking about 5-6 pound increase per capita on that protein, but we came up obviously a lot closer to 10, and then that's enough to make a lot of difference.
That's a huge change when you think about that. We had an 8% increase in pork production during the year, a 4-5% increase in poultry production. Exports for poultry were down nearly 15%. Beef production was basically flat. We're actually smaller, but our imports were bigger, so our net beef supply was flat. But our exports were off 13%. So not having access to those global markets drove a lot more protein back to the U.S. consumers.
When we look at where we are right now for 2016, it seemed like that the numbers that Cattle Facts came up with, the predictions for a 2016 average, pretty well are in line with what we have seen in the latter part of the fourth quarter of 2015.
I think that's a good observation, Ron. You know, we think the market is obviously it's been incredibly volatile. But the market continues to reject the price levels. When we break down in here into the teens or low 20s, the market rejects those levels very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we look at the supply-demand side, obviously demand is very difficult to forecast with your headlights. But we still see a slowing global economy, but we see a good U.S. economy. So It's a little bit of a balancing act when you go through it. I think our observation would be this, is the market's gone through the supply shock. We've already gone through the biggest supply shock we'll go through over the next 3 or 4 years. Demand is still the most difficult piece, but we think we'll see global trade improve. It won't be a runaway, but it will improve compared to where it was in 2015.
Seems that You allude to the supplies. As we talked about cattle markets a year ago, we were anticipating that we were going to continue to be very tight as far as supplies were concerned. We were continuing to try to pull heifers out of the supply back into the herd. All those things were going on, and just the shock of the flip has really caught a lot of our folks in kind of a bad situation.
Well, I think that's a good reminder to everybody. Our supplies were incredibly tight all year. You know, the supply forecasts were accurate from a number standpoint. The cattle weren't there to harvest. Now, we got a very uncurrent supply when we fed cattle and made them way too big. So the second half of the year, the market fought with way too many yield grade 4s or yield grade 5s, heavyweight discounts galore. You know, maybe one of the most uncurrent times that I've seen in the last 30 years in the industry, because the incentive was there to make cattle big and nobody was making money. So, again, the numbers were right. The problem was demand, and it started with global demand, we ended up with a lot more quantity in our domestic markets because global demand slowed. And that's what happens when currencies move the way they did. The U.S. dollar gained 15 to 25% against most of these other currencies around the world. So they obviously lost a lot of purchasing power when that move occurred.
And I guess with all those things behind us, does that mean we've got a little more stable picture here? It seems like that was one of the things I noticed from the forecasts for 16. You all were at least anticipating a little more stability in these markets overall.
Absolutely. You know, you go through the extremes we have. We've gone through 2014, we got too high. Let's just be honest. The market got too high. I think I illustrated that in the early 2015. The market was stretched out. We were vulnerable because of that. We've gotten too low in our estimation in late 2015. So you went from one extreme to the other. We should start to quiet down in here. We're going to be in a lower range, and the market's going to work lower as we move into increasing supplies over the next several years. But the volatility, I think, is going to start to slow down.
A couple of things that you were kind of alluding to within the presentation of yourself and your team. You mentioned the fact that, I believe the number you showed, about just over a million head of cows likely added to the beef cow herd here in the United States. We don't know the number yet. It'll be out later today, in fact, but from USDA's perspective. But are we how big of a cow herd do we need? In other words, y'all were talking about 30.8 million beef cows at this point. How many more do we add?
Well, I don't think we would have had an industry that would have dropped the number of beef cows much below 31.5 to 32 million head had it not been for the magnitude of the drought. A year ago at this time, I think I was very specific. I thought we could handle that level as long as our demand stayed close to current levels, that we could handle that and still be profitable. I think that's still the correct observation. So we should see a 2 to 3 million head increase in the number of beef cows we have in our industry by the time we've built out this through this expansion phase. Mm-hmm. And get back up in here somewhere close to 32 million. I think we can handle that.
So the 32 million figure you're real comfortable with?
I'm comfortable with it. Obviously, you're more comfortable when you're not going through this kind of a shaky global environment, but that'll pass too. You know, all these markets correct. All markets correct, and this is what we're seeing around the world. You know, China could not continue to grow at double-digit levels. That wasn't going to happen. So I think that's a good number as we look at it down the road, somewhere in that 31.5 to 32 million beef cows.
You alluded to the situation of some of the structural changes going on with fed cattle right now, and the fact that some of that goes back to this problem of having the right kind of discovery, limited number of cash cattle in the southern plains, especially Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. How do we get our arms around that?
Well, obviously, price discovery is a important element for our markets. We need to have more points of price discovery on a weekly basis. When we have 1 point of price discovery at 4:30 on Friday afternoon, where we trade cash cattle, that's not a very efficient way of doing business, is it? So when you get as backed up as we were this late summer and fall, obviously the market was incentivizing packers to ship cattle out of the areas where we had a backed up front end supply and move those cattle to areas where there was less inventory. And when you do that, you end up with a much more limited cash price market in the central and southern plains. So the point I was really trying to make is when we go through those kind of things, you don't end up with any price discovery. When we're selling 85% or 90% of our cattle in that time period, 95% of our cattle were being sold on some sort of a formula or grid, and only 5% were selling in the cash market in the central and southern plains. So we found, I think, the tipping point. the industry will work through it. I think there's a lot of really bright, smart people in our industry, and they will figure that out.
The things I've noticed, used to be we talked about 18,000, 20,000 every week that Texas cattle feeders were reporting on cash. Now 1,500, 2,000, 2,500. It's pretty dramatic.
Well, it is. It's dramatic in Texas, but I think you have to remember, when we lost the packing plant in Texas, the Cargill plant at Friona, that was a big change. So, again, you needed to make sure you had access to packing capacity if you were feeder in that region, and that hadn't changed. So an area like Kansas probably will see more price discovery. We'll probably do more in the Kansas market. And I don't look for Texas to change that much. But as long as we have a point of adequate price discovery within that region, I think that's what's most important.
Kind of wrapping up, what are some things that you've considered and you're going to be talking with your members and with cattle producers as far as recommendations? What do they need to be doing business-wise here in 2016?
Well, I think the big thing is, when you come out of a year like 2014, I mean, everybody can sit back and think about it was just euphoria, wasn't it? I mean, man, it couldn't get any better. And we went from euphoria to despondent. Panic, fear. That's really what we've done in 12 months' time. And that would be what we would call the psychological move that you go through in markets from peaks and valleys. So I think what we have to do, there's great opportunities in our business and in our industry, but we got to be businesslike. We weren't very businesslike as producers in 2015. We were buying cattle the day we bought them that would lose $100 to $150 a head. And that doesn't work very well in this narrow margin business. And it's the same thing that has happened in my career for the last 35 to 40 years. Whenever we go through these times of big profits, we tend to get a little bit carried away, and then we have to go through these big equity drains before we get back to doing business the way we should do business. So I think we will have a very business-like focus in 2016, and that'll be one of the main things that will help stabilize this market.
Your allusion or your mentioning of, making $5 billion and then losing the $5 billion, that's insane.
It is crazy, We've never seen anything like that. To make $5.5 billion and we lost $5.1 billion through last week, it's just incredible. In another 3 or 4 weeks, all of the $5.5 billion will be gone. So that is crazy. It's crazy.